Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great Milonzo. And of course, if you want to be, you. It is Whatever Wednesday. Bring back Whatever Wednesday. Which means you want to get to is on tap today. It is on you what we get to today. You want to get to some college football, some NFL football. I know that there is at least a few of you that are baseball fans. Nope. I got paid for 4.5 years to do a baseball show. I know there's some baseball dudes out there. We'll get into some baseball.
That was a slip of the button.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely did not intend.
I was trying to hit that. See, when I redid my new thing, the bell should be on top and the buzzer should be on the bottom.
You, of course, you who have never one time, not a single time, disparaged the good name of baseball. Never once in the history of this show have you disparaged the good name of baseball. You, of course, wouldn't have not accidentally played the buzzer sound when I brought up MLB's postseason, which has been very good.
I'm rooting for them Yankees, man.
Yankees looked good last night. Aaron Judge, you know what's really weird? Aaron Judge is batting .444 in this postseason so far, which is an incredible number for a dude that took a lot of crap. I was listening yesterday before that game. I was scrolling the gram yesterday before that game, and I came across, as I usually do, some clips from our brother station, WFAN, the Fan in New York. And they were having a conversation about, is the moment too big? Is the moment too big for Aaron Judge? Because it just feels like Aaron Judge is not getting it done in the postseason. And then I looked and I'm like, what is Aaron doing in this series? Because it feels like he's been on base quite a bit. He's batting like .444. Except when there are runners in scoring position and he's batting like .125. Right, like in the moments where they need him to come through and come up with multiple RBIs, he's failing. But in the moments where he's the only guy wearing pinstripes on the diamond, he's the only guy out there on offense because nobody's on the bags, then he's a friggin' masher.
Yeah, but they're still winning, right? So
no, they faced elimination last night.
Did they?
If they lose in the next two games, they are cooked. They are done.
All right, so you're blaming him for everything.
I am not. I'm saying the folks in New York are. And we all know that, of course, New York fans are logical, reasonable, level-headed fans when it comes to their teams.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, they'd never overreact to anything. But yeah, they're freaking out about Aaron Judge.
That was a lot of evers, by the way.
A lot of ever. Well, but you know, again, it's New York. They never ever overreact to anything. Also today, In fact, I will get to this.
Oh, man. Oh, I was going to say.
I got my ass kicked last week, so yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. I got to be perfect now.
Hey, but it's Wednesday. I mean, we both did pretty well till Wednesday. Yeah. I was going to say you missed the pass. I mean, missed a chance to go ever.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling it in that moment.
Yeah, my ever is not as good as yours. So
it's one of the few things I got going for me. Did have a pair of games last night. Actually, you know what? Why am I saying this? Like, it's not part of the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories. You need to know before you get to the office. If you are on the way to the office, you're just killing time. Here's the beautiful part. For the next 49 days of our lives, there's football every day. Every night for now until 7 weeks from now, there is football every single night of the week, college or professional. So you got to kill a little less time because, let's be honest, if you're a football junkie, like you have a problem, you're a sicko like me. Hey, you might get fired up about UTEP versus Liberty at 8:30 on a Wednesday night because, like, what am I going to do? Watch the news? Get out of here, lame ass. I'm watching UTEP versus Liberty on a Wednesday night. So you don't have to kill as much time.
Yeah,
but
you're right. That's not lame.
You do have 12 hours and 25 minutes to kill until our first games kick off this evening. So we can burn 8 of those off at work. Not by working, of course. You're not going to work at work. You're going to talk sports at work. You're going to eschew all of your responsibilities in order to engage in some loving discourse about sports. But you got to know what's going on. You don't want to look like a know-nothing idiot, like a try-hard. You want to know what the hell's going on, which is why Lonzo and I at 7 o'clock in the morning every day do this. Tis indeed the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this a.m. and start, again, killing 12 hours and 24 minutes until we kick off some college football this evening. And then we'll do it again tomorrow. And you'll kill off the same amount of time before we kick off some college and NFL football on a Thursday night. And then college football on a Friday. And then college football on Saturday. And then Sunday football for the NFL. And then Monday football for the NFL. And then Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night. And then Thursday night for the next 7 weeks. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Let's do that. Item number one. Speaking of college football, item number one is a college football story. Now, do I think that this is a college football story that you are going to look at and say this is as impactful as, say, the Big Ten considering a $2 billion private investment to pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the conference jam? No, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I do think it is something that is going to be interesting. And I do think it is, as we pointed out over the past couple of weeks with guys like Diego Pavia winning lawsuits or at least prolonging lawsuits against the NCAA. Due to antitrust legislation, I have said a few times, anything that the NCAA props up is going to be challenged legally by players. And at the rate in which they are winning lawsuits based primarily on saying that the NCAA does not have an antitrust exemption, therefore they cannot put this type of prohibition on us, they might win a bunch of it. They have been so far. The NCAA is officially moving transfer portal season in college football. Remember, they had already agreed to go to a single transfer portal window. But they did not, a couple of weeks ago, decide on what those dates were going to be, which meant that they stayed, for the time being, in December. However, they have now agreed on a date range. The NCAA is officially moving the transfer portal to a 2-week period that will run from January 2nd to January 16th, starting this upcoming year. They will have the transfer portal open January 2nd, so the day after the New Year's 2, 6, however many there are left. They will have that run. They will have that run through January 16th, pardon me, which you will note, if you are paying attention, is 3 days before the college football playoffs get started. The national championship this year will be determined on January 19th. So you have effectively 3 days of portal window between the end of the portal and where we go from here. Now, I don't know what other legislation is going to be changed. I would not be shocked to see at some point an adoption of legislation that would say for every day that is in the window, a team is active as in still alive, has a bowl game or has a college football playoff game or makes it all the way to the championship. For every day in that window that you are active, and this is what I think they should do. For every day in the window that your team is still a football team, I'm talking in the playoffs, in the Natty, whatever. Every day your team is not eliminated or your season is not over, you have one day tacked on to the end of that portal. So, if you make it all the way to the January 19th National Championship game, as the window will have opened and closed during your playoff run, that team, those two teams that play for the Natty, they should get a full 2 weeks after the season is over where they are still allowed to utilize the portal, players in, players out. The teams that play, let's say, in the College Football Championship semifinals, January 8th and January 9th. The two teams that lose in those games, as they have 6 and 7 days where the portal is open while they are still a team, they should have 6 and 7 days tacked on to their portal window at the end of their season. So the team that loses in semifinal number one on January 8th, a Thursday, they have 7 full days tacked on. The team that loses on January 9th, as they have lost 6 days, as the team that loses January 9th had 7 days where they are active and the portal is open, they should have 7 days tacked on to the end of the portal. So the portal does not close for them on the 16th. It would close on the 23rd or whatever, however math works. I don't know. So we'll see how that plays out. There's still a lot more that has to be discussed. The Division I Administrative Committee voted yesterday to adopt the proposed dates of January 2nd through 16th. College football players, according to, by the way, Max Olson of ESPN, college football players, including graduate transfers, must now wait until January 2nd to officially enter their names in the portal and initiate contact with other schools. The reform is expected to be finalized at the conclusion of the administrative committee meetings today. The new 15-day transfer portal window opens up one day after the college football quarterfinals conclude. Players on the two teams competing in the CFP National Championship game on the 19th will get an additional 5-day period from January 20th through 24th. This is why I was saying I think they should get however many days they're active, because if you are Ohio State last year and you play for the Natty, that window is closed while you are still practicing for the national championship. That window closes. You should get the same amount of time in the window as everybody else. This kind of feels like, oh, you know, the last place team gets the first draft pick and the Super Bowl winning team gets the last. That's not a thing here. That's not a thing here. Can't be a thing here. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll talk more about that later on in the show, but let's get to item number two. I believe in you, water cooler. There you are. I knew it could do it. Two Major League Baseball games last night. The AL Divisional Series were underway last night. The Seattle Mariners now lead the Detroit Tigers 2-1 in their best of five. Seattle, two seed, hosted games 1 and 2. They split 1-1. Game 3 last night in Detroit went the way of the Mariners. Now the Tigers will try to split 1-1 at the crib, as today they will face elimination. Logan Gilbert picked up the win for Seattle last night. 6 innings, gave up just 4 hits, 1 run, K'd 7. Jack Flaherty took the L for the Tigers. 3.1, gave up 4 hits and 4 runs, struck out 6 in his effort. But it was the Mariners from the dish that got it done. They only had 8 hits last night, but they did get home runs from Eugenio Suarez. They got one from J.P. Crawford. And, of course, the big dumper, Cal Raleigh. Got a postseason dong last night. In fact, I don't know if you saw this. It was very cool. There was a dude in the outfield who was wearing a Mariners shirt that said, dump 61 here, as this was going to be home run 61 on the season for Cal Raleigh. The dude was wearing a shirt, though, that said, dump 61 here, and he caught home run number 61. That in and of itself is cool. You know what the guy did after that? He took off that shirt and had another shirt that said, dump 62 here. That guy came in with a... I don't believe in, like, manifestation, right? Like, I don't believe in that stuff. But this dude clearly did that.
Do you believe in scripts?
Dude, I mean...
It's work.
He hit the ball.
He knew all along that ball was going to come to him. He knew it.
That dude rocked a shirt that said, dump 61 here. The big dumper dumped 61 there, and then he popped off the shirt and had dump 62 here. That man said, I'm bringing both the Cal Raleigh's dongs home. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Seattle win 8-4. They are now up in the series 2-1.
I just want to say that's the weirdest thing you've ever said.
What, he hit 2 home runs to that one guy? That was He was saying he was bringing home two Cal Raleigh homers. That's impressive.
Okay.
9-6, the Yankees finally figure it out against the Blue Jays. Toronto swept the first two games at the crib. The Yankees get one back. Duh, Yankees win last night. Now they trail, however, Toronto 2-1 heading into game number 4. Carlos Rodon started for the Yankees, and it did not start well. Rodon went 2.1, gave up 6 hits, 6 earned runs, K'd just 2 before he got yanked from that game, and it turned into effectively a bullpen game for the New York Yankees. It kind of was a bullpen game for the Blue Jays. Since they picked up Shane Bieber from Cleveland, they've kind of been using Bieber as more of a. I thought it was Bieber too. Turns out it is Bieber.
I've heard it pronounced Bieber thousands of times.
But I've heard him say it's Bieber. So I'm going to roll with him, much like I'm going to roll with this Bijan Robinson, because that's what Bijan says it is.
To me, he's Justin Bieber's brother and forever shall be.
Okay. Shane Bieber. See, now you got me screwed up. Shane Bieber goes 2.2, gives up 5 hits and 3 runs last night. The L would be tagged on to Lewis Varland, who went 1 inning in relief, gave up 2 hits and 2 runs in that spot for Toronto. It was a 6-0 lead for Toronto. I'm going to keep it a buck. I got up and put on my jammies and went and laid down in the bed with the wifey poo, because I'm like, well, this game's cooked. This game's over. Toronto's absolutely rocking the ball. But then we got to the third inning. Aaron Judge scored Grisham. It was 6-2. Giancarlo Stanton hit a sac fly to center, scored Cody Bellinger. It's 6-3. Aaron Judge went 373 to left. 3-run dong that tied it up at 6-6. Then in the fifth, Jazz Chisholm went 409 to right. 7-6 Yankees. Wells single scored Rosario. It's 6-8 Yankees. And then Ben Rice in the bottom of the sixth hit a sac fly to score Aaron Judge. 6-9. Nice. Yankees at that point. The Yankees win the game. However, they are still on the brink of elimination. Here's the beautiful part, America. Both sides of the coin are playing today. We have 4 games on the docket. At 3:08, Bryce Miller v. Casey Mize, as Seattle tries to eliminate Detroit. Bryce Miller, Casey Mize. Seattle tries to eliminate Detroit in Detroit. Detroit a -110 favorite. Milwaukee's at the Cubbies. Quinn Priester versus Jameson Taillon. That game is at 5:08 p.m. Milwaukee does lead that series 2-0, so the Cubbies must win 3 and a row in order to move on. Toronto leads New York. That game will be today at 7:08 p.m., and I very much look forward to tomorrow's sports flash, because your pitching matchup is Lewis Varland versus Cam Schlitter. Cannot wait for Lonzo to tell you just how damn impressive the rookie Cam Schlitter is tomorrow.
I'll call in.
I can't wait. Cam Schlitter going off tonight. All right? And I can't wait to see it. And then we wrap it up at 9:08.
Can he be eliminated tonight?
Yes, he can be eliminated tonight.
Okay, so I don't talk about losers.
If he wins, it will be a massive Schlitter moment for Cam and the boys. And then at 9:08 p.m., we wrap it up with the Phillies on the road at L.A. The Dodgers are up 2-0. They just need to win one of the two at the crib. Aaron Nola, who is a big question mark. Nola stank the back half of the year, but he ended on a very high note pitching exceptionally well versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers, who has just been pitching exceptionally well. This game is 100% dependent on what Aaron Nola do we get. If it's a good one, it's going to be spectacular. If it's a bad one, it's not. Item number 3. The NHL got its regular season underway last night. A trio of games on opening night. The Florida Panthers begin their Stanley Cup campaign to defend this cup, click-clack, with a 3-2 win over the Chicago Blackhawks last night. And boy, howdy, was it a very interesting game. Chicago tied it up at the end of the second period. It got deep into the third before Jesper Bokvist. It's another great name in sports. Wow. Jesper Bokvist. B-O-Q-V-I-S-T. Bokvist.
Sounds like a Bond villain.
It kind of does. You're kind of not wrong. He got his first goal of the season. 9:40 played in the third period to lift the Florida Panthers past the Chicago Blackhawks. The Pittsburgh Penguins blanked Jersey Joe's New York Rangers last night. 3-0 your scoreline in that one. And the Avalanche of Colorado absolutely wiped the ice with the LA Kings. 4-1 your final in that one. Marty Natchez, the former Carolina Hurricane who got shipped out of town down for Mikko Rantanen, who then, of course, left again. Nate just had a pair of goals last night for Colorado. Nate McKinnon had two assists for that team as well. A tremendous start for the Avalanche and the Penguins last night. Florida on the board with one. We do have a few more games on tap tonight before we get to the first big slate, with Thursday being most of the games. Coming up tonight, we have got, in fact, I clicked on the right down the wrong day. We got a bunch of games tonight. Just trust me on this. Canadiens Maple Leafs at 7, Bruins Caps at 7:30, Flames Oilers and Kings Golden Knights all at 10 p.m. tonight. And then everybody else, including your Carolina Hurricanes, we'll get started on Thursday. The Canes will open their season at the crib against their Eastern Conference rivals, the New Jersey Devils, live at the Lenovo Center at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday night. The Nashville Predators, because I know there's at least a couple of you out there, 8 p.m. on ESPN Plus, will host the Columbus Blue Jackets from Bridgestone Arena in Smashville, Tennessee. So we're going to a break when we come back here in just a minute. What does, if anything, what does this transfer portal window move mean for college football? What does it mean for the athletes? What does it mean the coaches? And what does it mean for us, the fans, if anything? I've got some thoughts on that. I'll share them when we come back. I'm Rob Brown. He's Lonzo. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show, and you're also very handsome, and I want you to know that. This is The Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Texter said, hey, Rob, how hard is it to make this portal window open the day after the national championship and then go for 2 weeks? How is it fair to teams that are playing in the national championship but still have to recruit? End quote. Look, that's been my big concern, my take, my thought, my opinion for a while now. And by the way, it is whatever Wednesday here on the show. So your text, your calls, your emails, your tweets, your whatever dictate the direction of the radio program. So send them and we will respond to them here on the show. So that was
chair's
my...
Chair's winning today, man.
I see that. You are having a fist fight over there and you are clearly losing it. We are having a discussion, as we announced yesterday. Nope, scratch that. This morning. That yesterday, the college football transfer portal window has officially been given new dates. We will have a window, just one. It will open on Jan 2, and it will stay open until Jan 16. That is 3 days before the January 19th national championship game. So if Lonzo's Ohio State University Buckeyes were to make it back to the national championship this year, that means that some members of the coaching staff for the Buckeyes would not only have to be preparing their team to play for the biggest game of the season that any team will play in, but they will have to be monitoring the transfer portal as well. Now, granted, the teams that play in those last few games will get an additional 5 days tacked on to the end of the window, but if your team is done playing on Jan 1 or December 27th or December 17th or whatever, your team will have plenty of time to evaluate the window to meet needs and whatnot.
So I don't remember how, as far as contacting the transfer portal, so you can't talk to them before the window opens?
The rule is that, yes. The rule is okay. If a player's name is not in the portal, they cannot be contacted. And now players cannot put that. When I say open, I don't mean you can put your name in the portal earlier than that, and then on the second you can move your teams. I mean, that's when names go in the portal. So on Jan 2, the portal will have no names on it, and then I assume opening business on Jan 2, that will populate every player who then begins to put their name into the transfer portal window.
So if you're probably the best guy in the portal and you put your name in there,
you're going to get phone calls on Jan 2. Probably within seconds.
There's no chance that, you know, your people talk to their people, whatever team should be in the national championship, to tell them, hey, I'm going in the portal. I will wait for you before I listen to offers.
One of the dead horses that I have beaten on this radio program many times is that we have heard a plethora of coaches over the last couple of years who have said that players on their team were contacted by representatives, could be agents, could be family members, could be whatever, that players on their team were contacted and told, if you were to come to this school, here is what you would be in line for. Whether it's playing time, whether it's fast track to the NFL, whether it's NIL money, whatever, that players have been contacted. But I have also been saying, if these coaches are unwilling to name names, if they are unwilling to give details, then all I can assume is either A, it doesn't bother them enough to drop the hammer, or B, it's not happening. And they're lying, and they're just giving a CYA response.
Wow, that's two. All right, so it's one of those unwritten rules that we don't tell, so you don't tell, so you just have to deal with it.
Well, then I don't think you would grab a mic and say, hey, my running back got 5 phone calls last year, right? Well, you just don't say it at all if everybody's doing it.
It's more like covering your butt.
I mean, sure, but again, like, if that is the case, if everybody's doing it, how am I going to get mad at it, right? Like, how am I going to get mad at it? Because the thought would be, well, you know, that just opens the door for the big programs to take away from the little. They already have that, and they always have.
If you expose the seedy underbelly, then everyone can see how ugly it is.
Maybe so. But again, I don't think we need to delve into, even if it is probably likely that it is true, I don't think we need to delve into the conspiracy theories when there is plenty enough going on in college football that we know is a thing, right? So, as far as the portal window changing to the single star, there is one more. Nicole Arbach reported that there is one more transfer portal rule change that has jumped in, and it's this: effective immediately. Why is it immediately and not immediately? Anyway, effective immediately.
Really?
It starts with an I. It feels like it would be immediately. Anyway, effective.
So does imminent.
Agreed. Effective immediately. In cases of a head coaching change, athletes will have a 15-day consecutive window beginning 5 days after a new coach is hired or announced. So not the day that the coach gets fired, if a coach gets fired. But athletes get a 15-day consecutive window beginning 5 days after a new coach is hired or announced. The old rule, and this one is why this one almost jumps out at me more than the change of the dates of the portal window. The old rule was that athletes got a 30-day transfer window immediately following the head coach's departure. So if a head coach got fired, it opened the window immediately, and those players got 30 days before they were locked out of a move. Now, the window does not open until a new coach is hired by the school, and those players only get 2 weeks. I do not think that I need a crystal ball. I do not think that I must be a college football soothsayer to say this one's 1,000% getting thrown into a court battle the next coach that is fired. If it is Billy Napier at Florida, if it is Dave Dorn at NC State, it does not matter. Whoever is fired next, because if you're a Florida Gator and Billy Napier gets fired, and you came to that school to play for Billy Napier, and as a bunch of kids on that team did, like, there's a lot of guys that follow Billy Napier from Louisiana over to Florida. Probably fewer now that it's been a couple of years, but there's some guys that followed him there. If one of those guys is still on the roster and they came to play for old Coach Billy, and Coach Billy gets released by the university, in the old window or in the old rule, that kid could have immediately said, "I'm in the portal. I'm open for business. Somebody call me." Now he has to wait till Florida hires their next head coach, and he only gets 2 weeks in a day. I'm not saying that I even have an opinion on whether that is better or worse. Obviously, it's going to be having less time and making players wait for a new head coach instead of having the opportunity to open it up for a month immediately and start making the phone calls. That's worse for the players, and I am more often than not more in favor of anything that is better for players. Call me the bleeding heart, if you will. So I do have a problem with it from that angle. But from the overall perspective, like, I'm not even really taking a stance on this other than to say, here's the deal, man. You're going to get sued and you're going to lose again. Like, it's inevitable. Now, I don't know if that means they're going to go back to the new window or whatever, but it's just one more ramification of trying to put the guardrails down after you made the changes. Here's the other question that I asked in my old noggin when I read this from Nicole Arbach yesterday. What if a school doesn't officially name a head coach until the season starts or like a couple of weeks before? And I'm not saying that that is a thing that has happened, but what happens if, and here's what I need clarification on.
A lot of schools have GMs now, so maybe the GM does that.
What happens if, whether it's a GM or a school president or whatever, what happens if a team waits until late to name? What happens if a school hits a guy with an interim head coaching tag and they go, "We haven't hired a new head coach. This guy's already on staff. He's the interim HC. He's not the HC." And then they retain that guy through the end of the season, through the spring, through the old transfer portal window, and guys still have to make that decision. Do then they get to eschew the window? Do they get to go through the window? And then when the next head coach is hired after the portal is closed, Do they then still get a new portal? Like, would they still get that 15-day? The point on all of this, by and large, is that a lot of this feels like, at least they're not, they may have asked these questions, but they're not answering them entirely. Like, they're not answering them. And I will throw one more thing out. And this is true about both of these situations. Both of these situations are going to have lawsuits. Both of these, anything that they do to restrict what have been the rules for as long as they have been the rules is going to get challenged in a court. And the NCAA's track record right now is not good in front of a judge. All right. 844-326-3663 is the number. If you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear them. Shane Beamer gave some thoughts yesterday on South Carolina's bye week, getting ready for their game this weekend against LSU, including what he's been doing in practice to get ready for this game. I'll tell you what Shane O said yesterday, today, next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
South Carolina took full advantage of a get-right game against the University of Kentucky this past weekend. And the question that I had for South Carolina fans on Monday, and I will say this, I find this interesting. For a pair of teams in Clemson and South Carolina that both had an eerily similar situation heading into the weekend, that situation being, take advantage of your get right game. both teams entered against a football team that is not as good as they have been in years gone by. Both teams entered into a game against a football team that, with Hoodie, obviously just not a good team, and with Kentucky, I genuinely think is the worst team Mark Stoops has had since he got to Kentucky. I do not think Mark Stoops is on the hot seat. I do not think he's going anywhere. I think he will be given an opportunity to recruit well and get right, but it is still the worst team he has had in Lexington, Kentucky so far. And both teams took advantage of their get-right game. That being said, I also asked about both teams on the old sliding scale of truth that we use here on the show, because we are big believers in the concept of nuance. I asked the question on the sliding scale of truth, where do you put Clemson good versus Carolina bad? Which side does that land on? We had John Blau of the Post and Courier, who covers Clemson for that outlet, on Monday. I asked him that question. He said, I put it slap dab in the middle. On one hand, there is no question that that is the most cohesive and complimentary that Clemson has looked all year. On the flip side, yeah, North Carolina stinks. Where on the sliding scale of truth do we put South Carolina good, Kentucky bad? And I'm going to keep it a buck. While our job is absolutely not to ride the fence on this show, it is to take a stand, have an opinion, defend it passionately. This is going to sound like I'm riding the fence. I promise you I'm not. I put the answer right in the middle. Same as it is, and I agree with John Blau. In fact, I went a little further than John Blau. I think I said 60-40 North Carolina bad to 40% Clemson good. I am putting the sliding scale for USC Kentucky right dead center in the middle. I think it is half because that is the most consistent and the most identity establishing that we've seen the Gamecocks. On the flip side, Kentucky stinks.
Which team is worse, Kentucky or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
I'm gonna agree with you. North Carolina. It's like the defense I've never seen.
Yeah, it was awful.
That's the worst defense I think I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's awful. So, the question that we had last week for Clemson was, what do you do in the get-right game against North Carolina? The question we had for South Carolina was, what do you do in the get-right game against Kentucky? And now the question that we have for both of these teams is, once again, very much identical. And that question is, how do you carry that momentum moving forward? Now, there is one primary difference between the two that have an identical question, which is about consistency. For Clemson, good news. You get Boston College. Good news. Boston College is as bad as North Carolina, maybe slightly better, but if they are, it's not by much.
Did it not bother you that Clemson had to start out with a trick play?
No, it did not.
And it's like, okay, they're just trying to, they're trying to get early success. That, to me, speaks of a confidence problem with somebody. I don't know if it's with Cade or if it's with other members of the team.
I have this same conversation with a dear friend of mine who is a big Clemson guy. He said, I hate that we were in a point that we are trick play on play number one identity.
It's a bad look. It really is.
I disagree with you, and let me tell you why. I watched a lot of North Carolina football last week leading up to that game because I like to know what that other football team, what the opponents are going to look like, so that when I sit down to watch Clemson, North Carolina, I'm not kind of snagging like just on the fly. Like I want to be able to say, here's the weaknesses, does Clemson exploit it, whatever. And one of the weaknesses that I saw out of North Carolina, and I give Dabo Sweeney a lot of credit for this because he specifically pointed this out when asked about opening with a trick play. North Carolina's cornerbacks, they play dumb. And here's what I mean by that.
They pretended to be dumb or they just
No,
were dumb?
They play. There is a difference between you are dumb and you play dumb. You can be very smart and play dumb. You can be very dumb and play smart. There's a difference between you are dumb and you're playing dumb. I'm not saying they're dumb. I'm saying they play dumb. What I mean by that is, and I saw this in the UCF game as well, because I went back and watched the recap of that a number of times to be able to, with knowledge, watch Clemson, North Carolina. One of the things that I picked up, and I am not an offensive coordinator or head coach at the University of Clemson, or Clemson University, sorry. Let me get that right before I get thrown out of the state.
Well, yeah, I played a lot of college football video games.
100%.
Makes you somewhat of an expert.
100%. And I will tell you, when I play that game, I approach it the same way. Like, I'm looking to see what I see to take advantage of. Here is what I saw. North Carolina's cornerbacks, the second that they see run, the second they see run, it is downhill full afterburner to get to it. Now, I will never take a run at DBs who step up into run support and are willing to put their head across the running back's body. I will never fault them for that. That is something that when I coached youth football, I very much tried to teach young cornerbacks and safeties. If you want to go to college playing football as a DB or a corner, you have to do two things. Number one, you got to be very good in your coverage. But number two, you have to understand you've got to play run support sometimes. And you can't arm tackle. You got to go out there and make a hit. And that guy might be Derrick Henry. But your job is not to tackle him. It's to slow him up for the cavalry to arrive. North Carolina takes that mentality to the extreme. Their cornerbacks, and this is why, when asked about it, and Dabo said, we saw something on tape we wanted to exploit, and we wanted to do it immediately. I went, I actually really like that. You could have buried that 6-7 deep in the script. But if you know that, this team has a set of cornerbacks that do not attack the run. They attack the run.
All right.
So why not simulate it, get him to bite, and take a shot?
Whether this is real or perception, the fact that I thought that and a Clemson fan that you talked to also thought that, that means there are a lot of people probably out there thinking it was a sign of weakness. It was a sign of desperation.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't argue.
Especially if it didn't work. Obviously, it worked. It worked amazingly.
It worked. And it worked because they put good recognition. They did the film study. They saw a weakness and they attacked it. I agree with you. If they would have pitched it out to Williams and the wide receivers are all covered up and he ends up taking a hit for a loss of a yard or two, then I'm probably on your team today. But what we saw was they recognized that their cornerbacks over-attack the run. They over-attack the run. They step up the second they think they recognize run. Not when they recognize the run. When they think they recognize the run, they attacked it. So what they do? Flip it to Antonio, simulate the run to the right. We know he can throw the football, throw it down the field, wide open wide receiver, touchdown on play number one. I don't have an issue with it because what they saw addressed the weakness of Carolina's defense, and they attacked it, and it worked out. Now, there is a similarity that I noticed this week between Clemson fans and Carolina fans, and it is this. Y'all quiet as hell, bruh. Y'all quiet as hell. Like, there's been nothing. There's been nothing. We got dramatically more interaction.
It was a bye week.
We got dramatically more interaction after the Syracuse loss, after the Mizzou loss for those two teams, than we did the week after a win. Now, I get it. If you win, there's a lot less to complain about, and people would rather complain than compliment. That's just how the world works. But I assumed this week there would be a lot of, hey, Rob, this is what I'm looking for, what I'd like to see. Here's where I think we saw development, where we didn't see development, this, that, the other, whatever. And we haven't gotten that. So when it comes to these two teams entering this weekend, I think the situations are very similar. The good news for Clemson is you catch another bad football team, which means that the things that worked last week, you can sharpen them to perfection. The things that did not work last week, you can give them another run in a practice full speed exhibition contest. On the flip side, South Carolina, you got to go down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You got to go on down to what I believe to this day is the loudest college football environment in the United States of America. I have been to Death Valley, Baton Rouge, Louisiana a number of times. It's a different atmosphere. And the LSU fans, after they took their L to Ole Miss, like, they know they're teetering on the edge right now. Because historically, once Brian Kelly takes an L, it spirals, man. And I believe that is because Brian Kelly is an emotionally reactive kind of guy. And that is great when your team is winning. But if you can't say, I'm going to go to the moon in the emotion during a dub, but when we take an L, I'm going to kind of hit the brakes, throttle back the emotion, and dive into the logic behind the situation, that's where you get yourself in trouble. And I believe historically that has been a MO for Brian Kelly. So this team knows they're teetering on the edge, which means they are going to be wildly aggressive in this spot. So Shane Beamer was asked about going down to the loudest place in college football yesterday, and he said, getting ready for the noise. Quote, it starts in practice. We're doing some crowd noise things in practice, which we always do when we go on the road. We did it when we went to Missouri, and we did it today, and we'll do it tomorrow and Thursday in practice, just trying to mainly simulate crowd noise. But you cannot simulate 100,000 probably heavily intoxicated Louisianians down there. Shane? You're right. No, that's for sure the right take. That's
probably,
for sure it.
You probably could simulate that, but it would require a lot of free drinks and getting people in the stadium while you practice.
I am going to tell you, and I feel uniquely qualified to speak on this. As somebody who the fraction of my family that went to college, the majority of them went to LSU. I grew up around LSU football. I've been to plenty of LSU games in Death Valley, Louisiana. And I've also been now to a number of multiple games at Clemson and to South Carolina. And I can tell you, as great as the home field advantage is in Willie B, and I do not think that it is a thin branch nor insulting to say, when South Carolina fans show up, Willie B is a better home field advantage than Clemson is. All right? I'm sorry. I've been to both. Willie B is a better home field advantage when the fans show up. And I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's been in both of those stadiums for night games and rivalry games, you cannot simulate what LSU does. You can't do it. You can't do it. You just cannot simulate that. You could get 100,000 of the drunkest South Carolina fans around Willie B, and it will not be what LSU is. That's not a shot. That's a compliment to LSU, not a shot at Willie B. Because I can think of about all the rest of the football stadiums that I would say, if I packed 100,000 of the drunkest Gamecock fans into that stadium, most stadiums around America could not match what that place is when it's at its best. But I mean it when I tell you, and as somebody who has been, last I counted, to 24 different Division I college football stadiums, none of them touch LSU. Florida does not touch LSU when LSU is at its best. And I promise you, LSU is going to be at its best on Saturday night in this game. He said, we're pumping in crowd noise. We're doing the best we can. Quote, but this isn't going into some 40,000-seat stadium. This is one of the great venues in all of college football, so we know it's going to be loud, and we've got to prepare that way in practice and play well on Saturday night. Now, that's great. You're practicing the way you're going to play. Crowd noise, be loud, whatever. It is a lot different than when you feel that stadium bearing down on you. So the question that I have when we, once again, the two words that find themselves into this show, I think more than any other words in the history of this show, there are two of them. Number one is nuance. That's why we do the sliding scale of truth, which is more true. Kentucky was bad or South Carolina was good. Where on that scale is the truth? It's not one extreme or the other. And the second word that shows up on this show, I think, more than any other word, is consistency. Because I don't think there's anything more important than consistency in life. I'm talking about in your pro life, in your day-to-day life, in your business life, in your love life. If you're not consistent, things go sideways for you. So, Shane Beamer got asked, what is the overall identity of this offense through five games? Here's what he said. We're still developing as a team. We told our players, coaches, we're still developing the brand and the identity that we play with. There were a lot of signs against Kentucky last Saturday night. And offensively, as I told you guys, to line up and run the ball 14 straight plays or 14 out of 15, that's a pretty strong freaking identity right there that we put on tape against Kentucky. We want to continue to put that on tape. The ability to run the football and make explosives in the passing game, we've shown signs of that throughout the season with our big plays in the passing game, with our ability to finish the game like we did running the ball the other night offensively against Kentucky. We just haven't done consistently. What did I say after the Mizzou game? The only reason you were in that game was because Lenoris hit a couple of deep play balls. What happened after that became obviously the threat? Took it away. Took it away, and they beat you in the fourth quarter. They took it away from you because you weren't running the ball. This is why I have screamed two things. Number one, run the ball with your running backs. But number two, utilize the legs of Lenoris Sellers as a weapon, because there is not anything you can do that is going to open up your pass game for those big explosive plays, which you will need to compete against or beat LSU, with the knowledge that LSU might have the best defensive backfield in football. I'll say most athletic. There's still some rough edges, but they have one of the most athletic DB backfields in all of football. You will need explosive plays, but the only way you're going to get them is to make sure those DBs are playing downhill to the run game. And you are only going to make that happen with Lenoris Sellers. Attaway can't do it by himself. Faison can't do it by himself. You can only do it if your O-line blocks and allows Lenore Sellers to be a runner, you utilize him as a runner, and you make DBs play honest to stop him as priority number one. Then you'll see Nick Harbor be able to slip in behind a safety and go get that 60-yard bomb. That's my take. So I'm interested what Shane had to say there. We'll do more of that later on. We got some MLB and NFL talk, all of that coming up right now. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax. You might want to grab a cigarette for this because you're going to need it after Lonzo Sports Flash.
Not necessary. That's a bad habit. The New York Yankees kept their season alive with a 9-6 win over Toronto in Game 3. Carlos Rodon gave up 6 runs to the Jays in a 2.1 innings, but homers from Aaron Judge and Jazz Chisholm Jr., and RBIs from Giancarlo Stanton, Austin Wells, and Ben Rice gave New York the lead for good. Game 4 is tonight at 7. The Mariners lead their best-of-5 series against Detroit 2-1 after an 8-4 win last night. Logan Gilbert gave up 4 hits and 1 run across 6 innings, while Seattle's offense got homers from P.J. Crawford, Eugenio Suarez, and Cal Raleigh. Game 4 is today at 3. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has been fined $250,000 for flipping off fans at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. Video showed Jones displaying his middle finger during the Cowboys' 37-22 win over the Jets. Jones claimed the showing was an accident. He was trying to give a thumbs up, supposedly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.